Now we head back to hour two of Garden Talk with Mr. Mark Weber. Mark, how's it going over there?
I am well. And Mary, I have a question for you.
What's going on?
Do you mow your grass?
You know, I live in a condo, so I have an association that does that for me, which is very nice.
Okay, if you look out your window and you look at that lawn that was just freshly cut, and that lawn looks kind of whitish in color, what might be wrong with that lawn?
I have no idea. Can you teach me?
I shall. Okay. In the next hour of Garden Talk on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
This is WHIO's consumer warrior, Clark Howard. Beware scam artists in Dayton. I'll find you out.
This is WHIO meteorologist Kirstie Zantini. If weather breaks this hour, we will break it.
And you're listening to an Ask the Expert weekend on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
And a good Saturday morning to each and every one of you, and welcome back to the second hour of Garden Talk right here on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO. This is a show, it's all about helping you with your yard gardening and landscaping challenges. My name is Mark Weber, and I have enjoyed doing this show for well over 26 years, helping you with your questions, your concerns, your worries, and giving you fresh new ideas on how to make your yard gardening and landscaping so much better. 457-1290 is the number of the dial. Becca and Chris are at the helm, and they await your phone calls. There are two lines available, and we will help you along the way. A little bit about myself. I am the president and co-founder of Mark Weber's Landscaping. You can learn about my firm at www.weberlandscaping.com. We are a full-service landscaping and arboricultural enterprise, and we do a lot of things for people, include consulting, and I enjoy helping folks solve their plant problems, and we like to do it in the most prudent way possible, and we do all our work based on the science and best practices. I hold 2 degrees in horticulture from an institution called Ohio State University. I am designated by the International Society of Arboriculture as a board-certified master arborist. Less than 2% of all the certified arborists in the world are board-certified masters, and I am also qualified in tree risk assessment, and I am also a master nursery landscape technician, and I'd like to help you today. 457-1290, and without further ado, up on the horticultural hotline, we are joined by your friend and mine. I think he's your friend. I know he's my friend. Mr. Rich Pearson. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
You're really going to have to come to my office sometime, and I'm going to have to teach you how to post pictures on the blog.
Yes, obviously.
There's a button there that you just push and load up the file.
I did that, and all it did was it brought over the about 4 lines of text, and it's
that would mean that you got your blockers are on. If you go up in your browser, it'll block stuff. You can take the blocks off, and it'll let you do it.
Well, I've heard that this Garden Talk blog site is, it's a dangerous place. It might like instill all kinds of pornography on my computer.
Oh no, I know it. Get real, man. Get real.
Well, we had a very astute caller there. Got your mystery plant already.
Yeah, you know, London Plains, one of those trees that. When you see it in urban conditions, it's so unique. I was actually working on some stuff this week in New York City of all places, and the day I was there, Rich, it was 97 degrees, hot, and in the middle of a very urban condition, buildings right next to each other, sidewalks. The only green, there was no grass to be found, and the only green were these trees. And, it's fascinating to watch human beings in situations like that, how they gravitate to shade.
Imagine.
And it is. And, you know, for me, I didn't grow up in conditions like that. And to be part of that situation for the time I was there, it was fascinating to watch the population of the folks who resided in those neighborhoods and how those trees are so important to their being, their fabric. Mm-hmm. And they become these refuge of peace and serenity, a place where someone can sit on a park bench and enjoy the breeze and the coolness versus being in the hot sun. And, you know, there's a lot of value. And I thought to myself on my flight back home that this would be a great tree to do what plant I am with, because this is a tree that, you know, there's a lot of people say things about it that are good and bad, but, you know, this is a tree that for an urban setting in a largest city in the world was a really good choice. And
And I think sometimes we get kind of lost in the negatives of plants in general, or certain plants, mm-hmm. and we forget that there probably is a redeeming feature for all of them. Mm-hmm. And I know there's some folks that are probably cringing this next one, but even some of the plants that have made it onto the invasive species list, they do have some redeeming qualities. You gotta dig deep for them.
Yeah, as long as they don't mess things up, you know. And so back on this New York thing, you know, Asian longhorn beetle is still in New York. It's in the borough of Queens, and it threatens a lot of trees that can affect a lot of people.
And that's one of those pests that it can be controlled, but it involves eradication. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that's a struggle, because it means in an urban site where there's been an effort to establish an urban forest, eradicating the trees to control the pest that's going to destroy those trees is not going to go over well with the people that live there.
Right. And so, you know, this just comes into play. You know, in my other, you know, things that I do, I go to people's properties all the time. And, you know, I hear this whole thing, well, that's a dirty tree. Okay, I look at him straight in the eye and I said, okay, you think it's a dirty tree. I said, do you shed hair?
Do
your toenails grow? Yes. So we go into all of this stuff, and I try to, you know, bring them to a place in their lives where they realize that every living thing in life is dirty. Okay? It produces something that may not be of value to you, but that tree provides you shade, it provides you value to your property. And when you disrespect it, and I call disrespect improper pruning, disrespect is improper, you know, hit it with a lawnmower, hit it with a weed whacker, you know, violate it in any way, shape, or form. And we're not talking about, you know, rape here, but when you hit a tree, you damage the tree, and when you damage a tree, you open up that tree for a huge amount of wounds. And some trees are really good at compartmentalizing that decay zone, while there's many who, frankly, don't do a very good job at compartmentalizing. And then those trees become dangerous and defective and fall on top of us and hurt us and all that kind of stuff. So, you wanted to talk about peach leaf curl, which is a fascinating disease that gets blamed for so many things. But fortunately, it's easy to control if you do the right thing at the right time, right?
Right. And unfortunately, when, you know, it's one of those things that kind of confounds people that pay close attention to their garden. But when they notice this, it's too late to do anything about it. Mm. It's something that needs to be treated when the tree is dormant. Right now, and I've had a lot of questions about this recently, and people have even brought me samples. And it's characterized by a deformation of the foliage. It literally does curl the leaf, and very often there's a corky, callousy mass associated with it. At this point, though, the fungus is already present and has already caused the damage and is being expressed physically. So there isn't really a treatment that is effective other than, at this point, physically removing the foliage, and it'll help reduce some of the inoculum load, and then make sure that there's good hygiene in the fall, clean up the leaves and destroy them. And at that point, you can apply a fungicide. Copper, some kind of fixed copper is recommended, possibly with sulfur. But also folks need to realize that most fungicides are preventative. They're not curative.
Right.
But it rarely is fatal to the tree. That being said, the hygiene part, cleaning up the leaves and cleaning up the, if you find twigs that are infected or infested, pruning those off and destroying them, getting them off the property, don't compost them. That is the effective control for it.
Exactly.
And I think quite by accident last fall, I discovered a very effective part of that hygiene. There were, I'm kind of one of those more natural-esque gardeners in some areas of the yard, let's say.
Yeah.
And there were some, under our fruit trees, there were some like woodland asters and other things that grew there. And when frost had killed them off and they were dry, I sprayed around the trunks of the trees with water, and then I got out my handy weed torch and I fired it up.
Right.
And by burning off that layer, I got rid of the spent dead weeds, but I also destroyed all of the leaves that had fallen from the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really helped control disease, because I don't have any peach leaf curl. And we have four peaches out there, and pretty good-sized trees. So, yeah, the hygiene part of it is the beginning best practice for keeping that disease under control.
Right. And with peaches, we know that peaches are something that are extremely sensitive to a number of fungal pathogens. And mm-hmm. one thing that can definitely happen with that is if those plants, if the peach plant has any type of disease organism still hanging on the tree, into the following year, in more cases than not, will cause serious disease or issues the year after. So, Mr. Rich, as always, thank you. I must go because of the constraints of time, and Chris and Becker will begin throwing materials at me for not getting off the air on time. And
is this Chris, the Cheerio Kid, Chris?
Yeah. He actually comes in here every once in a while. It's kind of fun because I've known Chris for. I remember when Chris first came here and was just started with the station. You know, now he's a big shot and he runs the place.
Wow, I have to like maybe address him with respect and admiration and stuff.
Yeah, that's why they call him. That's why they call him hippie. You know,
it's no longer necessarily the derogatory term that he used.
No,
to be.
It's not. And I don't even think he's a deadhead or anything like that either. You know, so that's a joke too. But Rich, as always, take good care of you, and we'll talk real soon. Okay. Take care. Bye-bye. Folks, when we come back, we'll talk to Tom, Linda, and Susan, and you at 457-1290 on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
The Miami Valley's only radio station for 24-hour breaking news, weather, and traffic. AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
In the 40s, Knollwood provided vegetable plants for family victory gardens. And while the reason to grow food may have changed, the benefits remain. Fresh, healthy, better tasting, and it doesn't get more local than food from your backyard. Teach kids where food really comes from the garden, not the fridge. Watch things grow from seed to serving. Food gardening is something the entire family will enjoy. In a container, in a garden, time to grow your own. Knollwood Garden Center in Beaver Creek, we're gardeners just like you. Shea Gardeners Rejoice. Hello, this is John from Knollwood Garden Center and Landscaping in Beaver Creek. Hosta are some of the most reliable and varied perennials in the shade. All shades of green, gold, blue, and variegated white that can create a simple border or a crazy quilt look of colors and textures. Now through Tuesday, Knollwood has five Hosta favorites, regularly $14 to $19.99 for just $10.99 while supplies last. And all other Hostas are 20% off. Knollwood Garden Center in Beaver Creek, we're gardeners just like you.
Have you been thinking about retiring? It could be the most important decision of your life. Tune in to Russell Total Wealth Radio Saturdays at 1 p.m. and now on Sundays at 11 a.m. right here on WHIO for answers to your questions about how to maximize your money during retirement. Plus, learn strategies about minimizing your taxes. Get the facts and learn about all of your options. Tune in Saturdays at 1 p.m. and now Sundays at 11 a.m. on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO. Part of our Ask the Expert weekend.
Just how summertime good are the new barbecue pulled pork burritos at Hothead Burritos? How about last day of school good? Or get everyone by the pool wet giant cannonball good? In fact, they're no coat, no hat, no long pants good. Oh yeah, our barbecue pulled pork burritos and bowls are the flavor of summer. A grand finale fireworks taste bud explosion. Customize your barbecue pulled pork at Hothead Burritos today.
Are you living with type 2 diabetes? Have you been told your kidneys may not be working properly? Prestige Clinical Research is currently enrolling a study evaluating the safety and effectiveness of an investigational drug versus placebo for type 2 diabetes. Participants must be age 18 or older and treating their diabetes with metformin, sulfonylureas, or basal insulin. Other qualifications may apply. Qualified participants may receive study-related drug or placebo and study-related medical exams at no cost and financial compensation for time and travel. Call Prestige Clinical Research at 937-746-4505.
Thinking about adding a flagpole to your home or business? Creative Banners Flags and Poles has the answer. Serving the Dayton area for 39 years, we specialize in new flagpole sales and installations. Have an existing flagpole you need repaired or relocated? We handle that too, with flagpole maintenance by our own experienced professionals. Take our virtual tour at creativeflags.com to see our full line of products and services. Call us at 461-FLAG or visit our Kettering showroom at 1006 East Dorothy Lane. Creative Banners Flags and Poles, your full service flag store.
Looking for a place to donate books, records, and movies? May 15th through the 22nd, bring them to any area Grismer Tire Store for a donation to the 47th Annual Dayton Book Fair. Proceeds benefit the Artemis Center, and your donations are tax deductible. More info at DaytonBookFair.com.
Hundreds of reporters working around the clock to bring you the latest news from the Miami Valley. You can depend on Dayton and Springfield's 24-hour news, weather, and traffic station, AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
It is 7:24, 24 minutes after 7 o'clock on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO. Let's check out the updated weather forecast from News Center 7.
We'll see a mix of clouds and sun this morning. Slight chance for a passing shower. Better chances for some showers and thunderstorms as we head through the afternoon into this evening. High temperatures today pushing 80. Showers and storms likely tonight. Overnight lows in the mid-60s. We'll keep showers and storms in the forecast to start the day Sunday, tapering off in the afternoon. High 75. I'm meteorologist Josh Poland on the Miami Valley Severe Weather Station, AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
A current scan of the new Live Doppler HG7 radar is completely clear. We're resting at 53 degrees Fahrenheit on the station that you depend on for weather, traffic, and garden talk, AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
The views and opinions expressed during this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of Cox Media Group Ohio. Now, back to Garden Talk on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
457-1290 is the number of the dial if you would like to be part of this morning's broadcast. Let's roll to the telephone lines at 457-1290. Susan had a question about bib or butter lettuce. Good morning, Susan. Are you still with us?
Yes, I am. I was actually, you were talking about growing lettuces, and I love the bib lettuce, like you said, but I like to grow that black-seeded Simpson.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can cut it and just keep on going, you know, till it gets real tall. But I think I wanted to talk to you about in my garden bed is I have that Johnson grass, and it is showing up again after I've tilled.
Okay.
It's I don't want to really use a pre-emergent or anything, and I don't even think that'll work, will it? What can I do to try to control it? Let's say that, because I know I can't get rid of it.
Unfortunately, Johnson grass is an invasive species of plant. It actually, by the way, came from France originally, and it was brought actually to the state of Georgia to be utilized as a forage crop for dairy cattle, and it actually spread through all through the South and has made its way all the way into the northern states now.
Mm-hmm.
This plant propagates itself by seed and also by underground rhizome. The only effective way that can be controlled quickly is through chemical means.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a number of post-directive non-selective herbicides like glyphosate that can be effective on it. There's also some selective post-directive herbicides such as Fusilade and others that can be directly applied to grass plants and kill just grass plants and not broadleaf plants. My counsel would be, if you've got it in the garden, I would go to war with it and get rid of it before I would spend a lot of money, time, or energy trying to grow it otherwise. The other way you could do it, I guess, if you don't want to apply any pesticides, you could cover the whole garden area with black plastic or some type of plastic mulch, and then plant your vegetable garden through that plastic mulch, but don't be surprised if the jay grass pokes through the little holes from where you planted your vegetables at. That stuff is nasty.
I know. I did the black plastic last year, and it was still under there. I've never seen clumps of roots.
If you've got clumps of roots as big as you've described, and I have witnessed that in my professional life, then ma'am, you really need to go after this. Maybe think about raising your vegetables in pots or containers, and just go to put this to fallow, so to speak. That's what they call it agriculturally, and just go to war with this stuff and get rid of it, because don't let it go to seed. And I would not let it breathe. I mean, I would be in there every 2 weeks applying a herbicide to knock it down to its knees.
Okay, well, I've been doing a lot of research, and I'd like to replant my lettuce there, but last year I just gave up half season, you know.
Go to war. Just grow your vegetables in pots. It works.
I'll do that.
Okay, ma'am. Good luck to you.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Bye.
Bye-bye. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Tom. He's got questions about a tree. We'll be talking to Randy Tischer from Green Velvet Sod Farms. We're going to talk about the importance of mower blades and what they can mean on the appearance of your lawn, and so much more here on Garden Talk on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
This is the station Dayton turns to first for live team coverage of breaking news. WHIO Dayton Springfield. Your news starts now. Depend on it.
It's 7:30. I'm Mary Worden. Our top story. President Trump has arrived at his initial stop in his first international trip.
Warm temperatures stick around this weekend, but we're tracking a big cool down for next week. I'm meteorologist Josh Poland. Your exclusive WHIO forecast is coming up.
Now WHIO Triple Team Traffic. Currently no accidents or major issues on the freeways. Your drive time on westbound 35 from 675 to 75 is running 5 minutes. Our top story. President Trump has arrived in Saudi Arabia, the initial stop in the president's first international trip.
The Obama administration stalled some of the delivery of weapons. That, we understand, is likely to be unstalled, as indeed is a $110 billion arms contract with the Saudis.
Foreign news editor Sam Kiley from Fox News sister station Sky News reporting. Vice President Mike Pence will speak this afternoon at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. Pence is scheduled to not only speak at 3 p.m. at the sprawling air base outside of Dayton, but also is expected to meet with service members and their families, part of a ceremony for U.S. Armed Forces Day. The event is not open to the public, but you can watch it live on our website, WHIO.com. In Fairborn, police say they've arrested one of two suspects in a Friday night shooting. 20-year-old Michael Reese is in the group Greene County Jail and is charged with aggravated robbery with a deadly weapon and aggravated felonious assault. Police responded to the 2100 block of Beaver Valley Road around 7 p.m. on a report of a shooting where they found a man with a gunshot wound. The man was taken to Miami Valley Hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Police say two men were seen leaving the scene of the shooting in a black vehicle, and the remaining man at large is considered armed and dangerous. In Greene County, it's an annual event that brings thousands of people from around the world to the Miami Valley.
For many years, Hamvention has been the world's largest amateur radio gathering, attracting hams from around the globe, sponsored by the Dayton Amateur Radio Association.
WHIO's Jason Michaels. The event moved to the Greene County Fairgrounds in Xenia this year after losing its longtime home with last year's closure of Hera Arena. Here's the exclusive WHIO Storm Center 7 forecast from meteorologist Josh Poland.
We'll see a mix of clouds and sun this morning. Slight chance for a passing shower. Better chances for some showers and thunderstorms as we head through the afternoon into this evening. High temperatures today pushing 80. Showers and storms likely tonight. Overnight lows in the mid-60s. We'll keep showers and storms in the forecast to start the day Sunday, tapering off in the afternoon, high 75. I'm meteorologist Josh Poland on the Miami Valley Severe Weather Station, AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
Looking at the latest scan of the Doppler 7 radar, I'm seeing a few spotty showers in Montgomery County. Outside our studios, seeing a lot of fog covering downtown. It's 53 degrees in Troy and 54 degrees in Springfield and Dayton at 7:33. If news breaks, we break in immediately. I'm Mary Worden on Dayton's 24-hour news, weather, and traffic station. AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO. Depend on it.
Hi, this is Larry Hanskin. My Pillow has changed my life. I've been talking to you about it for over a year and a half, and I just can't emphasize enough what a difference it's made in the quality of my sleep. And I know it can do the same for you. I know hundreds of you, literally, who have made the switch to My Pillow, and you've told me you've had the same experience I have, where you just fall asleep that much faster, and you stay asleep, a deeper sleep than you've known in years, and you wake up feeling so much more refreshed, so much energized. Now, I know I've also talked to some of you. You didn't like it. Okay, I get that. That's fine, because you don't have to worry. Every MyPillow comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. You've got nothing to lose, so make the call today to 1-800-320-1481, 800-320-1481. Ask for the radio listener special. You'll get 50% off two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows when you use the promo code WHIO. You can also order online, MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special, and again, use the promo code WHIO.
You're invited to one of the Miami Valley's favorite events. Soin LLC and Dayton International Festival Incorporated present the 44th annual A World Affair, Friday through Sunday at the Dayton Convention Center downtown. This year's theme is Home Remedies. 32 countries are represented in food, dance, costume, and cultural exhibits. Discover the International Beer Passport on Friday night. Plus, the Kenya Safari Acrobats are back, and the Tamburitsans are finally here. Tickets are available at the door. Handicapped persons are admitted without charge. Saturday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and free admission is offered to any active member of the military, including National Guard, with valid military ID. Friday 5 to 11, Saturday 11 to 11, Sunday 11 till 6. Come and experience A World Affair at the Dayton Convention Center. Find out more at aworldafair.org. Bring the entire family and enjoy the entire weekend.
This is WHIO's Clark Howard. I save you money, and the gang at WHIO work hard to bring you live breaking weather, traffic, and news right here.
WHIO. Can you grow a better lawn? Let's go in the grass with Randy Tischer of Green Velvet Sod Farms on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
Good morning, Mr. Tischer.
Yeah, it's a great morning. We've had some rain. I'm happy. It's going to be a little cooler out. I mean, I'm a smiling guy today.
Really?
It won't last very long, but right now I'm doing just fine.
You know,
yeah, really.
I will tell you, Randy, I see this all the time.
You're talking about lawns that look like it snowed out here in the middle of the middle of May.
Yeah.
Well, you're seeing it a lot, and what it is, If your lawn looks like it's just white tipped everywhere, it's a dull mower blade, and it sounds so trivial in the big picture of landscaping and lawn care and turf care, but keeping a nice sharp mower blade and mowing your turf with a sharp mower blade is extremely important as we get into the summer, and the warmer temperatures, the hotter humidity and disease, because a dull mower blade can really set your turf up for not only looking bad, like it snowed out there on top of your grass, but it also it opens that plant up for diseases to enter into that wound of the plant. And you know, I was doing a little research on this, and actually, a dull mower blade will make the plant use more water. So that's the last thing you want to have happen here in the summertime.
And because it literally spills out the top of the grass plant. A lot of people think that that grass plant doesn't do anything, but it's taking up water. It's conducting photosynthesis. It's generating waste, and that waste is typically oxygen. And along with that is there's a number of gases that are exchanged out through those leaf surfaces called stomatas. And because when we cut it with a dull mower blade, we cause a rip across the tissue. And that ripped tissue, by the way, is extremely susceptible to a number of leaf diseases.
Well, it is, and I understand that Rich might be a little bit challenged with pictures on your blog, but you got to. We posted pictures on the blog here of exactly what we're talking about: dull mower blade turf and what it should look like and what it might look like if your mower blade is dull. So. Aren't you proud of us?
I am. In fact, I know you won't have to come to my office to be taught how to do this. So
I don't need to because I've got a Melissa that does that for me. So I cheat a little bit, but she makes me look good. But we do have some nice pictures of exactly what we're talking about on your blog, and it does sound trivial, but it going into the summer where we really get diseases and turf really gets stressed. Mm-hmm. With the heat and the lack of moisture, and what I know is going to be coming. One of these days we're going to be talking about drought and the effect of the drought that we're probably going to see sometime this year on the turf plant, and anything you can do to make that turf plant healthy and keep it healthy as we go into the toughest time of the year for turf, which is summer. Little things like sharpening your mower blade. They say for an average lawn, you ought to sharpen your mower blade, put a sharp blade on there at least twice a year,
right?
Depending on how large your lawn is. And if you have a big lawn or a bunch of rocks out there, or you're digging that mower blade up, you might want to do it more often. But extremely important and easy to do and overlooked a lot as you drive around the countryside and see these white lawns. There's a lot of dull mower blades out there.
And very much so. Well, Mr. Tischer, as always, thank you so much, and I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day. And it sounds like you're going to have a relaxing one because you're not going to be worried about anything.
Well, maybe not worried about anything is the little stretch, but I'm not worrying about about watering of the turf. And when it gets this time of the year, when we get a few little days of some nice rains, it's exactly what the doctor ordered when you're trying to grow grass and keep it happy.
Did I actually see you planting grass seed this spring?
Yep, we've put I don't need to go to Las Vegas to gamble, Mark. We gamble right here in Ohio, and spring seedings are what I normally think of as the third best time of the year to seed. Fall being the best. Personally, I think winter dormant seedings are maybe the second best time of the year. But if you get a seeding in early in the spring, and I'm talking about March or April,
mm-hmm.
we lately have been trying to do that, and. Yeah, we planted quite a bit of both Kentucky bluegrass and turf-type tall fescue this spring, And, you know, so far so good. Cross my fingers, these timely rains are are making me look smart.
I was just, I was growing down 70 one day, and I saw you guys out there planting, and I go, well, wow, this is new. So I'll be interested to see how it all pans out. So.
Yeah, back in the old days, my father would never consider planting in the spring, but he was a lot smarter than I am, and now that he's gone and I'm here, I tend to do things that are a little more risky, and sometimes I'm looking smart, and sometimes my father up there reminding me that spring isn't the best time of the year to seed. Fall is. So we'll see who's the best. We'll see who wins, but right now I'm looking pretty good.
All right. Well, Mr. Tischer, as always, have a good day. We'll talk to you
very soon. I'll do it, Mark. Talk to you next week.
You bet. Bye-bye.
You've been In the Grass with Randy Tischer of Green Velvet Sod Farms. Our Ask the Expert phone lines are open to answer your gardening and landscape questions. Call Mark Weber at 457-1290. It's our Ask the Expert weekend on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
457-1290 is the number of the dial. If you'd like to be part of this morning's broadcast, we have an open line for you. In fact, one at least at 457-1290, and let's go talk to Tom in St. Paris. Tom, good morning, and welcome to Garden Talk.
Thank you. I have a question about a transplanting a redbud tree. How big a one can you transplant successfully?
Tell me the circumstances of the tree. Is this a tree that's been long established, or tell me where it's been growing? Kind of give me some background, if you would, please.
Yeah, it's on the side of the property. It's probably 3 to 4 inches in diameter, 12 foot or so.
Okay. Generally, and what's the diameter again, if I heard you right?
3 to 4 inches.
Okay. First of all, if you're going to be successful, you're going to have to train the tree's root system. And what I mean by that is roots on trees that grow from seedlings or saplings typically grow in the beginning with kind of like a long carrot. And as that long root goes down into the soil, it hits a place where... and this is not for all trees, but most trees. It grows for a period of time, and then when it hits an area of zone of low zone of low oxygen, that portion of the tree root will die. And then there's some other things that happen upstairs in the tree, but what triggers tree roots to branch is the gibberellic acids that are formed from bud breaks in the spring. And then the tree will then start to form these roots that break off of the main order roots. Now, the interesting thing that becomes with root development is root development in trees is purely from meristematic tissue. There's no place on a tree root where there's a bud. Unlike the above ground part of a tree that has buds and nodes and all kinds of meristematic areas that new growth can arise from, roots of trees are primarily triggered by hormones and by the direction in which they're growing or what they're running into. So unless that root system has been pruned during its period of growth, you have a root system that's very stringy. And a lot of very large coarse roots. And what happens is those coarse roots don't transplant very readily, which makes the tree a really pain in the butt to transplant. And red bud is one of those that's a pain in the butt to transplant. So if you're going to be successful with it, you're going to have to go through a period of root pruning, where one is literally cutting roots and severing them for a period of time, trying to generate a bunch of fibrous roots that can be utilized and can help improve the survivability of the plant.
Okay.
So, you know, you're going to have to start probably in the fall of this year. And start to root prune it. After it's been through a period of root pruning, then you were more likely than not at some point in time be able to do a probably a spring dig on it versus a fall dig and move it to the new location. Frankly, if it's the 3-inch diameter, I'm going to tell you it's probably going to take about 24 months in process to get to the place that I would feel comfortable to say to you that it is okay to do it. At the same time, you could probably grow a red bud in the same period of time and get nearly the same tree, because they grow they grow relatively fast from young trees.
Okay, thank you. I think we'll just leave them where they are, enjoy them there, and maybe get some smaller ones and plant.
That's, you know, to me might be the best place to begin. Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Good call, and thanks for calling, sir. Bye-bye. 457-1290. There is a line available for you. If you would like to talk to us, we would love to talk to you. Let's head to Fairborn, and let's go talk to Deborah. Deborah, good morning, and welcome to Garden Talk.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, ma'am. How can I help you?
Hey, I have a tropical hibiscus, and I brought it in over the winter last year.
Okay.
Up until November, it was budding flowers, and I put it outside about a month ago so that it could get direct sunlight, and it has not budded flowers yet, so I was wondering what's going on.
So, you had a tropical hibiscus, you overwintered,
mm-hmm.
and about a month ago, which would put it sometime in April the 20th, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. I cannot remember the date.
Yeah.
But I do remember that it was warm enough for it to go outside.
How warm was it?
we had some very warm days, like 75, 80.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was warm enough. I was very careful about that.
Well, my concern in a nutshell is that tropical hibiscus likes to grow in temperatures probably no lower than 70 degrees Fahrenheit,
mm-hmm.
and no lower, probably, no, I'll back off on that, maybe 60, 65, and likes to grow in daytime temperatures up in the upper 80s and 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, ma'am, you very well may have put it out too early. What I would suggest is I really need to see what this plant is looking like. So what I would suggest you do, if you go to my business website, which is weberlandscaping.com,
mm-hmm.
and that's with two B's, you can upload photographs of exactly what this looks like so that I can see it and better advise you on how to take care of this plant.
Okay.
Because frankly, I can't tell you right now.
Yeah.
Until I see some pictures. You may, my sense is you have probably got a lot of damage related to wind, weather, and cold temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
Because tropical hibiscus, like I said prior, is a plant who really, really, really wants to be where it's hot. It doesn't like cold Aprils in Ohio.
Once I follow your directions to try to nurture it back to health, is there a possibility that it would flower again?
Yeah, what we need to do is produce new wood on it, and it'll produce flowers on new wood. But I really need to see the degree of damage to best advise you which way to run with this. Because right now I'm completely guessing at this point in time. Okay.
Okay.
All right. I really look forward to seeing your photographs. Okay.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Bye bye. You have a really good day. Okay.
You too.
Bye bye. When we come back, we're going to talk to Ron in Tippecanoe and Tyler too. Now, how am I supposed to answer a question about South Carolina? I know I'm good at what I do, but that's a big state. It's got an upper and a lower. You know there's the lowlands of South Carolina and then the uplands of South Carolina? I'll do my best. We'll talk to Charlie in New Carlisle as well on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
When the Miami Valley gets hit with breaking news, severe weather, or traffic tie-ups, depend on us for up-to-the-minute information. AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
Hey, it's your friend Sean Hannity, and as you know, I am not afraid to be honest and say exactly what I feel. When it comes to selling your home, you need to know there are real estate agents out there that just rely on yard signs, well, and a few hundred dollars of marketing. Now, I'm going to make this very easy for you and tell you the one agent whose marketing plan is in a whole different league than anyone else you will talk to. I'm talking about Tammy Holmes of HER Realtors. She services the entire Dayton area, attracts hundreds of buyers every week, and sells a home on average every 24 hours. Now, because of that, she can guarantee to sell your home at an agreed price and deadline, or guess what? She'll buy it. Real estate mogul and Shark Tank star Barbara Corcoran only recommends Tammy Holmes in Dayton, and if I needed to sell my home in Dayton, well, I'd call Tammy. Call Tammy Holmes at 937-506-0500 or online at DaytonGuarantee.com. That's DaytonGuarantee.com. Go there and you can start packing.
Fox Leggers is our name.
Memorial Day, the time to honor those who served our country. Stockslingers invite you to celebrate the holiday with our fifth annual Combos for Our Country. Come to the Garden Center Saturday morning, May 27th. Recognize our veterans by creating a combination planter. You choose your plants, container, and patriotic decorations. Stockslingers donates $20 of your purchase to the Fisher Houses at Wright Pat.
Stockslingers Greenhouse and Garden Center.
Are you living with type 2 diabetes? Have you been told your kidneys may not be working properly? Prestige Clinical Research is currently enrolling a study evaluating the safety and effectiveness of an investigational drug versus placebo for type 2 diabetes. Participants must be age 18 or older and treating their diabetes with metformin, sulfonylureas, or basal insulin. Other qualifications may apply. Qualified participants may receive study-related drug or placebo and study-related medical exams at no cost and financial compensation for time and travel. Call Prestige Clinical Research at 937-746-4505.
Your flag looks awesome on your house when it isn't wrapped around the flagpole. Visit Creative Banners Flags and Poles in our Kettering showroom at 1006 East Dorothy Lane for a great solution to the furling flag. Need a new flag? Creative Banners Flags and Poles has U.S., cemetery, seasonal, custom, and military flags, plus bunting in all sizes. Family owned and operated, serving the Dayton area for 39 years. Check us out at creativeflags.com. Call 461-FLAG today and proudly wave your flag. With Creative Banners, Flags, and Poles. Wondering if your old cooling unit is going to squeak by this summer? Don't. There's never been a better time to explore the full line of Carrier innovations. Ask your local dealer how an efficient home comfort system by Carrier can reduce your monthly energy bills through the life of your system. Find your local dealer at Carrier.com.
At Mad River Armory and Range, you'll get 10% over cost on all new guns. Save 23 to 35% off retail prices. We are the low price leader. Mad River Armory and Range in Springfield. Visit MadRiverArmoryandRange.com.
Keeping your family safe. Our Storm Center 7 team of meteorologists bring you the information you need to know around the clock 24/7. Depend on the Miami Valley Severe Weather Station, AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
It is 7:54. Let's check out the updated weather forecast from News Center 7.
We'll see a mix of clouds and sun this morning. Slight chance for a passing shower. Better chances for some showers and thunderstorms as we head through the afternoon into this evening. High temperatures today pushing 80. Showers and storms likely tonight. Overnight lows in the mid-60s. We'll keep showers and storms in the forecast to start the day Sunday, tapering off in the afternoon. High 75. I'm meteorologist Josh Poland on the Miami Valley Severe Weather Station, AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
A current scan of the new live Doppler HG7 radar is clear. We're resting at 54 degrees on the station that you depend on for weather, traffic, and garden talk. AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
Hey.
Dayton and Springfield station for news, weather, and traffic. And our Ask the Experts weekends. AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
457-1290 is the number of the dial if you'd like to be part of this morning's broadcast. And if you got a gardening question, we'd be sure to help you along the way. Let's head back to the telephone lines and let's go talk. I'm most curious about this question. Let's go talk to Ron in Tip City. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm good. How can I help you?
Well, the reason you can answer this question about South Carolina, because I understand you're an expert in England, United Kingdom. You have to be certified to do something over there, correct?
Sir, I practice all over the place. But when I see a question, South Carolina question, I'm going, what are we going to talk about in South Carolina today?
This should be easy. I listen to you on the internet in South Carolina. So I listen to you about every Saturday. I've been doing it for years. So you're coming through loud and clear in South Carolina. But I'm not sure your advice is for me down there. But recently we bought a house. It's on about, an acre and a half. We've had to cut trees now. We've probably cut down about 50 trees because basically the house was in a forest. And we're trying to, we're having good luck growing grass. But you said you seed in the fall. That's the best time.
Right.
Is that true for South Carolina?
Absolutely.
Because we have winters. You know, if it gets down to 45 degrees, it's cold. The summers, it gets up to 90 and 100.
I wish it got 45 degrees here all winter.
I've had roses on Christmas Day.
Yeah,
blooming.
I know. I understand. Ron, the first thing is sowing grass seed in the fall in South Carolina is the same as it is here in Ohio. The difference being, though, is I would say your sowing date is probably going to be more like September 15th through November 1, probably. Just because of susceptibility to cold. Are you in the upland section of South Carolina or in the lowland section of South Carolina?
Neither. I'm in the Midlands around Columbia.
Okay, you're near Columbia. Okay, I know where that's at. You know, you're not going to be subject to frost pockets like they would be in the lowland area. So I would say you could successfully sow southern zone grasses in that part of the United States well into the first part of November without too much trouble, because you're probably not going to have a frost down there till probably mid-December or so, I would guess.
Yeah, it's very rare to have a frost anytime.
Yeah, I mean, I was down there working in last year in December, like a couple weeks before Christmas, and when I got up to leave to go to the airport one morning, it was frost on the windshield of the car. So yeah, I would say that as long as you had that grass up and growing by no later than the 15th by Thanksgiving, you should be in fine shape. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
And good luck to you. And thanks for listening to us all the way from South Carolina. Well, folks, when we come back next hour of Garden Talk, we'll be taking your calls at 457-1290. We're going to talk about termites with a sugar maple with Vance. Charlie has a question about landscaping, and along with that as well, helping you with your yard gardening and landscaping challenges, even if you're in South Carolina, if you're in New Jersey, California, or a good old Ohio, we've got an open line for you at 457-1290 on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
From our downtown Dayton McAfee Heating and Air Studios. WHIO Dayton, WHIO FM Pleasant Hill.